We're going to look at Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 14. I reminded Evelyn many, many years ago, there was a visiting evangelist was there on Easter at the church we were at, and the church was packed out. And, you know, some people only go to church on Easter and Christmas, and the church was totally full of people that hadn't been to church for a while, maybe. And he got up and preached the most scathing message on hell I'd ever heard. And those people looked like they'd witnessed a bomb blast. But maybe they, some of them heard something they needed to hear that day. I'm not going to preach on hell today, but hell is real.
Amen.
If you die without Christ, you're going there. But we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Romans chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And verse 9 is going to be my text this morning. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. So again, my topic this morning is Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. So if you would, I appreciate it if you pray with me that the Lord bless the service. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for every person that's here and for the opportunity to be in your house and for, God, a church where we can meet. Thank you for the freedoms we still enjoy. I pray now that you'd bless your word and that the Holy Spirit would be here, God, in power. And Lord, if someone is lost today, that he would quicken them and awaken them and show them their need of a Savior. Lord, we thank you that there's hope and that the resurrection is real and that we serve a risen Savior. God, I pray now that you'd bless your word and that every heart would be moved. God, that we would look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let me mention, God, those who can't be here because of sickness and other reasons. I just pray that you'd help them today and bless your word. In his name, and amen. You know, we're living in perilous times. And I believe as a nation, we are reaping what we have sown. And when I say we, I do not mean the politicians. I do not mean the president, and I do not mean Congress. I mean professing Christians are reaping what we've sown. I mean that pastors and preachers and teachers are reaping what we've sown. I believe that another gospel has been preached in this generation, and I believe another Christ has been promoted in the days in which we live. And I want you to understand something this morning, that facts are not faith. Facts are not faith. By that I mean this. A person may know all the facts of the gospel and yet die and go to hell. A person may know all the facts of the gospel and yet die and go to hell. A person, listen to this. A person may even believe all the facts of the gospel and not know Jesus Christ. A person may even believe all the facts of the gospel and not know Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, that the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, isn't it? We all know that. Let me say this. Probably many people up and down this road know that. What I'm trying to tell you is there's a lot of people who's raised in church. They know what the gospel is, but they're not saved. There are many people, if you knocked on their door and said, do you believe this, that Christ died and rose again, according to the scriptures? They say, yes, I believe that, but they're not saved. Just knowing the facts of the gospel has never saved anyone. I believed all that as a youth. If you would have asked me when I was 15, if I believed that, I would have said yes, but I was not saved. If you'd asked me when I was 17, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures? Do you believe that, Sean? I'd have said yes, but I was not saved. I would have nodded my head up and down and said, yes, I believe that. But I was not a Christian. Many people believe that, do they not? But they're not Christians. The devils, the Bible says, believe every word of that, and they tremble. I'm trying to tell you today that orthodoxy, or knowing and believing the right things, is good, but dead orthodoxy is bad. You have to have a living faith. I believe many of our churches are filled with people who have a dead orthodoxy. In other words, they know the facts, they even believe them in their head, but they're not truly converted. They're not saved. They're lifeless. A.W. Tozer said, if your Christian conversion did not reverse the direction of your life, if it did not transform it, then you're not converted at all. You are simply a victim of the accept Jesus heresy. There's a lot of people that Jesus Christ has never changed their life. They've never been converted. I want to proclaim to you today that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. He is alive.
Amen.
He is in control.
Yes.
He has power, the Bible says, over the dead and the living. He has the keys of hell and death. And he's coming again. And he's going to judge the world one day. And I want you to know that he is Lord. He is Lord. Look again at our text. For to this end, verse 9 says, for to this end, or for this purpose, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. When I was a young man, I heard an evangelist named B.R. Lakin several times. Some of you may have heard of him. This book right here, I've got this book. It's signed by B.R. Lakin. He signed it for my mother, who went to be with the Lord. I only bring that up because he said this. We either accept him as Savior and believe on him as Lord, or we reject him entirely.
That's right.
That's what the old preachers preached. The old preachers preached, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you accepted him as Lord.
Amen.
He is Lord. There's no dividing of Christ. He's prophet, priest, and king. Salvation is not a smorgasbord where you just choose what you want. Vance Havner, the old Southern Baptist evangelist, said this, if you willfully and deliberately reject him as Lord, you don't have him as Savior, and it's high time our people were shocked into learning this.
Amen.
He is Lord and Savior. You can't come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'd like for you to save me, but I don't want you to be my boss. You don't dictate terms to God. He dictates terms to you. I want to say, number one, he died for sinners. He died for sinners. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You need to understand, and I need to understand, and the world needs to understand that good people cannot be saved. He died for the ungodly. He came to this world to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said. If you think, well, I'm good, you can't be saved. He came to save the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. The whole do not need a physician. But the sin sick do, don't they? It's a good day in your life when the Holy Spirit reveals to you and convicts you that you need a Savior. As the hymn writer said, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote His sacred head for such a worm as I?" At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Are you happy? Are you in the Lord? Have you been to the cross? The King of Glory died for my sins. Think about that. He, the one who stepped out on nothing and spoke the worlds into existence, came to this earth and died for my sins. How could you ever get over that? How could you not rejoice in the fact that He died for our sins? Amen. He died for a worm like me. He died for a rebel. He died for somebody that didn't like Him. How about that? He died for a rebel. He died for sinners. Number one, He died for sinners. Number two, God raised Him up. Not only did He die, guess what? It's an empty tomb. God raised Him up. They sealed it. They put guards around it. Didn't matter, did it? God brought Him out of there. God raised Him up. Turn to Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, please. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. The Bible says this: "Unto you first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." God raised Him up, and He did it so that we would be turned from our iniquities. In other words, when God saves a person, He changes them. He changes them. That's called repentance, isn't it? When you say, "Well, preacher, I repented when I was saved." Well, if you're saved, you're still repenting. You'll repent till you die. Because we're never going to be sinless, are we? But what repentance means is a godly sorrow for sin, and we don't want to offend the Lord anymore. We want to stop that sinning. We want to turn from that. We want to live more like Jesus Christ. It's to turn us, every one of you, from his iniquities. The Bible says in Titus 2:14 that He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. That's past, present, and future. He's redeemed us from all iniquity. And to purify Himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. And we think of peculiar, you know, we think of people like me. But that's not what it means. It means that He owns us. We're His own peculiar. Evelyn, there's lots of wives here this morning, but Evelyn is my peculiar wife, and she is peculiar. She's my peculiar wife. Y'all follow me? I pick on her. I know she can take it. He saved us for His own, didn't He? He rose again. God raised Him up. Turn to Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. Notice what the Bible says. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Could you imagine Peter preaching at those very men who did this awful deed? Isn't God merciful? Isn't God merciful that he would preach to those people who said just a few days before, crucify him, crucify him? He delighteth in mercy. How can we explain that God would do that? If somebody would kill your son, would you delight in mercy? He said, whom you slew and hanged on a tree, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The God of our Father raised up Jesus. The Bible says the power that raised up Christ also quickens the dead sinner. That same resurrection power. That same resurrection power. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead raises the dead sinner. It's quickening power, isn't it? It's God's power. Man can't save anybody. Man can't keep anybody saved. God has to do it, doesn't it? God has to quicken people. The Bible says outside of Christ, we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead. So I'm glad to report to you today that he died for sinners. Can you put yourself in that group? He died for sinners. Secondly, God raised him up. He's not dead today, is he? He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's not dead. He ever liveth, the Bible says, and makes intercession for his people. I'm so glad for that. He's living today. The old hymn writer said this. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Does he live within your heart today? Number three, he is Lord and Savior. He is Lord and Savior. Look at turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'm trying not to make you go too far. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 36. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just back up a little bit. Let's read verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
He is King and he's Messiah. He is Lord, he's Master, and he is the Savior. He's Lord and Christ. He's both the Master and he's the Messiah. You are either for him today or you're against him. There is no middle ground. You're either for him or you're against him. He's the risen Lord. The Bible says here that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I say that again to remind you that you don't make him Lord.
Good.
He is Lord.
Amen.
God's done beat you to it. He has made him Lord. Your duty is to bow before the Lord. And you're going to do it. Let me say that again. Every person that's ever walked this earth is going to bow before the Lord. Every one of us. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, if that bothers you, it's because he's not your Lord. But I got to tell you today, I rejoice in the fact that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, well, the government's against us. Who cares? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, you say, the president don't like us. Who cares? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he's King of Kings and he's my Lord and he's my King, why do I care what anybody else does? For this end, we read the text to begin with. For this end, or for this purpose, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. That is why the Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. I'm telling you right now, according to that verse in Psalm, you don't want to fool with God when his wrath is kindled but a little. You can't handle but a little of it. What I'm telling you is that you better get right with God today if you're not right with God. You want to kiss the Son today. You want to serve him today. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Have you trusted him? Then you're blessed. There are a vast number of people who want to be saved from hell, but they don't want him to be the Lord. There's a lot of people out there who want to be saved. They don't want to go to hell, and I don't blame them. They don't want to go to hell, but they don't want Jesus to be the Lord. They don't want to be damned, but they don't want to submit to his authority. But I'm here to tell you today, he has all authority.
Amen.
He has all authority. He has all power. The Bible says he has all preeminence. And the Bible says that all things are under his feet. He has all authority. Have you trusted in the risen Lord? Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He didn't say some power is given unto me. He said, all power is given unto me. That means he has power over all flesh. The Bible says he has power over all flesh. Look at John. Turn to John. The Gospel of John in chapter 17, verse 1, please. John chapter 17. He is Lord. John chapter 17 and verse 1. The Bible says these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I'm telling you today, he has power over all flesh. I'm telling you today, you are in his hands. You are in his hands. If you're not saved today, you are in his hands.
That's right.
Jonathan Edwards said this. Jonathan Edwards, you know who Jonathan Edwards was? He, the Great Awakening. Sword of the Lord Press puts out a book. I don't think Sword of the Lord Press believes two words of this book. But I do. But Jonathan Edwards said this. There is nothing that keeps wicked men at any one moment out of hell but the mere pleasure of God. In other words, Jonathan Edwards said, the only thing that keeps you, if you're lost today, the only thing that keeps you out of hell is the mere pleasure of God. God could remove his hands and you drop into hell immediately like a rock through a spider's web. In other words, you are in the hands of God Almighty. Jesus has power over all flesh. The most wicked men are in his hands. He has power over all flesh. Daniel chapter 4 says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Do you know who said that? Nebuchadnezzar said that. Why did Nebuchadnezzar say that? I'll tell you why Nebuchadnezzar said that. He walked out on his porch one day, looked at his beautiful kingdom of Babylon, and he said, boy, what a great place I've built here. I am such a wonderful king. What a wonderful man I am. Look at this great palace and this great kingdom I've built. And God said, what? And God struck him down and he ate grass. He lived like an animal for 7 years, and the dew fell on him out in the fields. He lost his mind. But he learned a lesson, didn't he? That's when he said that. That's when he said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. When he got his mind back, see, he said, you know what? God's in control.
Yep.
God's in control. It's a good day when you understand that. It's a good day that when you look at it and you say, boy, what a great, whatever you are, mechanic, carpenter, accountant, whatever it is you do. You say, boy, I'm just a great, you better say, God, thank you for allowing me to have this talent that you've given me. Thank you for a clear mind. Thank you for hands that can work. Thank you for the ability to walk. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to struggle with my health if you've got good health. You better give God the glory, hadn't you? Don't take anything for granted, folks. There was a fellow in the New Testament Jesus told about. He had a bumper crop, and he said, you know what? This has been a great year. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger. And after that, I'm just going to kind of kick back and take it easy for a while. And God looked down over the battlements of heaven and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. You know what he did? There ain't nothing wrong with having a bumper crop. There ain't nothing wrong with making money. There ain't nothing wrong with taking it easy. But you better not forget God, friend. I want to remind you today, though, we've got a merciful King. We've got a merciful King. What a wonderful, he's Lord, but what a wonderful Lord. He's master, but what a good master. John Newton, the old slave trader, said this, this high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, before whom the angels veil their faces, condescends to hold communion with those whom men despise. He passes by kings and princes to manifest himself to a humble soul in a mud-walled cottage. He comforts them when they're in trouble. He strengthens them when weak. He makes their bed in sickness. He revives them when fainting, upholds them when falling, and so seasonably and effectually manages for them that though they are persecuted and tempted, though their enemies are many and mighty, nothing is able to separate them from his love.
Amen.
Isn't he a good master? Isn't he a good Lord? I'm not afraid of him. He's my Lord. He's my master. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. We serve a risen Savior. He's the sovereign Lord. And whether you're saved or lost, one day you'll say so. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Notice this, and hath put all things under his feet. Puny man shakes his fist at God. And God says, you're just under my feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He is far above earthly domains, isn't it? He's far above earthly domains. Everything is under his feet. He raised him from the dead, the Bible says, and he set him in heavenly places. I'm just trying to tell you today, he's the boss. He's the boss, and he is Lord. You know, sometimes I think of this. I've been a youth pastor, and I've been in children's churches, and I've done several things in the ministry. But sometimes when you're dealing with little kids, you know, and their parents aren't around, and you tell them, now go sit down, Johnny, or whatever, and he'll look at you and he'll say, you're not the boss of me. You ever had one tell you that? You're not the boss of me. I always chuckle inside when they say that. I think it's funny. That I shouldn't, but I do. You're not the boss of me. Well, you know what? That attitude's built into us, isn't it? I'm trying to tell you, we're wired that way. But Romans 14:9 says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be both Lord, or be Lord both of the dead and the living." He's Lord. He's Lord. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Please, Philippians chapter 2. Thank you for your patience this morning. Mia must have been misbehaving. I had to take her out, didn't I? Philippians chapter 2. She's just like a grandmother. I've always said that. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 8. "And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Notice this, "that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Everyone is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will not be one person excluded. There'll be no excuses. Nobody's going to get a pass. You say, "I don't even believe in God." Doesn't matter. Everyone is going to say, they're going to get down on their knees and they're going to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they would get down further than that if they could do it, because the glory of God is going to be so powerful that if they could crawl through the ground, they'd get under the ground. And they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every person. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I had an old high school teacher. He said, "As sure as God made little green apples," and he did, "it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess." You're going to do it, so you may as well do it on this side of eternity and go to heaven. Because some people are going to do it and then they're going to go to hell. Let me say it again. Just because you do it, when you get to that stage, it's too late. When you stand before God and grovel down on your knees and say Jesus Christ is Lord, it's too late. If you're going to bow the knee and confess that he's Lord, you're going to have to do it on this side of heaven. You're going to have to do it on this side of eternity. C.H. Spurgeon said, "If Christ is not all to you, he's nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part savior of men. If he be something, he must be everything. And if he be not everything, he is nothing to you."
That's right.
"For this reason," or "to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." Hebrews 1:13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" God didn't say that to any angel, did he? God didn't say to an angel, "Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies." God's going to make all his enemies Jesus Christ's footstool. You know what a footstool is, don't you? That means there's coming a day where Jesus Christ is going to sit down and put his feet up on that footstool, and it's going to be his enemies. God said, "You just sit right there till I make all your enemies. All your enemies." The risen Christ is the exalted Lord. He's the risen Lord. And I'm here to tell you today, if you hate his lordship, you're going to be his footstool. You're going to be his footstool. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord? Have you submitted to him? Have you submitted to him? Are you trying to establish your own righteousness? Are you here today and you're saying, "Well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a nice guy, or I'm a nice gal. I treat my neighbors good, or Or I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That's always easy to do, isn't it? I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You don't have to look very far to find somebody probably worse than you are. I hope you can find somebody worse than you are. But here's what the Bible says in Romans 3, there's none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You say, I don't believe that. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. Let me ask you a question. What are you when the crowd's not looking? What if I could take your computer, your cell phone, put it up on the screen today, let us all look at what you've been looking at for the last year? How would that work? You still a good person? You get what I'm saying? What if I could take the thoughts that you think about people and put that on a screen? How would that work? I'm just trying to tell you, we're sinners. But that's good news, because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Have you submit? Are you trying to defend yourself and say, I'm a pretty good fella, I'm a pretty good girl? Listen, that's not going to fly, folks. You have to. And let me tell you something. I could sit here and browbeat you all till 2 o'clock this afternoon. But unless the Holy Spirit shows you you're a sinner, I'm wasting my time. I'm telling you right now, God, the Holy Spirit has to convict people. I can't do it. There's people that sit in church, hear the preacher preach week after week after week, and it doesn't do a thing for them. They're like the blacksmith's dog who sat under the fire while the blacksmith's pounding on a hammer, and the dog's fast asleep. In other words, it doesn't bother him. But I'm telling you this, when that still small voice says, hey, thou art the man, thou art the woman. When that still small voice, the Holy Spirit, convicts your soul, ain't no amount of screaming preaching going to help you. I tell you what, when the Lord got a hold of me, I couldn't even tell you what that preacher preached Sunday. Because there's another preacher in my soul that's preaching a lot louder. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your good shepherd? Is He your master? Is He your king? Like I said, like the old evangelist said, we either accept Him as Savior and believe on Him as Lord, or we reject Him entirely.
That's right.
You go into the average Baptist church today and say that, they'd say you're a heretic. Well, we ain't average. Amen. And I ain't average either. And I still believe the old time way, and I still believe the Bible. And He's Lord. And He's my Lord, and I'm glad of it. And if He's not your Lord, you ought to accept Him today as your Savior and Lord. You ought to trust Him today. You ought to just, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're hoping in, if it ain't the Lord, throw it away and trust Him. And say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
And He's mighty to save. Amen. He's mighty to save. Oh, Lester Roloff was, I cut my teeth on that kind of preaching. But he'd sometimes sing this song. Day follows night, night follows day, farther and farther I roam. What shall my answer be? What will I say when Jesus beckons me home? What are you going to say? Do you know Him today?